An interesting statistic is that 80% of your pharmaceuticals are controlled by three large pharmacy benefit managers, which again was a tool that insurance companies use to try to keep costs low. However, I think what we're finding now is that it is doing quite the opposite.
By the way, did you know how prescriptions are priced? Welcome back to By the Way, Did You Know? And this week, we are kind of back to our original mission of highlighting legislation that you might not have heard about. And I think this is an interesting piece of legislation that's working through the General Assembly. The governor spoke a little bit about it at his budget address. And it's something that I'm actually learning a lot about, and that is the issue surrounding pharmacies and how pharmacies operate, the types of pharmacies that are out there, and something called PBMs. What is a PBM? PBM is a pharmacy benefit manager. And with me today, I have two folks with us. One is my good friend, Representative Val Gatos. She's from Allegheny County. And then also, to talk about pharmacy, we should probably bring in someone who knows about pharmacy, a pharmacist. So we have Rick Sipe here from Value Drug Company. And thank you guys for being here, and thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Absolutely.
So Val, you are working on a piece of legislation that deals with PBMs. Explain to me first what a PBM is, and then what your legislation is trying to solve.
So thank you, Torin. Thanks for having us on here. House Bill 1993, of which I'm a co-sponsor, addresses the issue of pharmaceutical pricing. And we all know that the cost of pharmaceuticals is rising. So we took a look at trying to find out why pharmaceutical prices are rising. Now, pharmacy benefit managers were initially started in the 60s and 70s to try to make sure that we all got the right prices, the best prices, and it was efficient. But that's 50 years ago. And now pharmacy benefit managers, an interesting statistic is that 80% of your pharmaceuticals are controlled by three large pharmacy benefit managers, which again was a tool that insurance companies use to try to keep costs low. However, I think what we're finding now is that it is doing quite the opposite. And three players owning 80% of the market isn't exactly free market.
Sure. And Rick, you're a pharmacist. You work at one of the independents. They refer to independent pharmacies. What is this PBM? What's the impact on your business?
Absolutely. And really, the PBMs, it's a widespread impact. So since the beginning of the year alone, we've had 70 community pharmacies, both chains and independents, across the state, both rural and urban, that have had to close their doors. And this is really driven because of the reimbursement. It's a simple mathematics of if you buy a product for one price and you sell it for less than that, eventually you end up going out of business. And that's really what's happening as a result of some of the contracts that have been signed through the PBM negotiations, et cetera, with pharmacies.
Yeah, so how do we fix that? Does this piece of legislation get us there?
Well, we believe it does. There's a couple of things that the legislation does is that it has transparency in pricing. It makes that transparent to the consumer as well as to government. And transparency is one way to solve that problem, because I think that a lot of these pricing schemes are done behind closed doors. They're negotiated without even our government knowing some of the costs that we're even paying through government for the cost of these pharmaceuticals.
Right. And I think it's really important that, you know, folks go, they want to look, they want to pay the most affordable price and but also have the convenience of going to a pharmacy in their local neighborhood. I don't have to go very far to my pharmacy. I would imagine in some of these rural communities, much like I live, as these doors are closing, then they're traveling a lot farther.
Absolutely. And there's two counties in the state already that only have one pharmacy, two counties that only have two pharmacies, and it goes on and on from there. And really that personal relationship is one that is really valued by just so many Pennsylvanians, that we want to make sure that we're available for them, we can continue that relationship with them. And it's very often just the destination of choice or the easiest access for people to be able to get health care. So we want to make sure that those pharmacies are there to answer the questions that somebody has, you know, at the end of the day or first thing in the morning, just so they have that easy access.
So I get a prescription sent to my pharmacy. My doctor gives me a prescription, it gets sent to my pharmacy. You know, what is that process behind the scenes that maybe I, as the consumer, have no idea is happening?
Sure. It's a great question, because there's a lot of, you know, you think it's just a bottle that is has a sticker on it,
right,
and that's it, right? But there's so much more to that. So your doctor's prescribing the medication that he or she thinks is the best medication for you, for your, for whatever is your ailment. And what then happens is that, first off, it needs to be a medication that's covered. So if it's a brand name product, it may or may not be on the formulary, which is a list of medications that that particular insurance company will actually will cover for you. Once the prescription is actually is covered, then you start to get back to the next step, which is how much is it going to be paid for. So sometimes it's a higher tier copay, or it's a step therapy, meaning that you have to be on another medication first. Once you get through all the billing sides, then you're actually to filling the prescription, making sure that there's no drug interactions as well too, making sure everything is safe, and then that just the validation, the verification that you're getting the right medication, the right bottle. Then the pharmacist is going to be talking to you just to make sure medication, if you have any questions, and all of those things that are attached to it. So there are a number of steps in the process other than, hey, here's the piece of paper and the sticker on the bottle.
Yeah. And we all take for granted a lot of things in life, right? It's just not as easy as that. So it's nice to get that background of actually how things work behind the scenes. So another thing I think folks care a lot about is pricing, right? And I think this bill, Representative Gatos, you're saying this bill is going to help get us to a point where drugs are more affordable?
Well, we think it will because of the transparency, but also its availability. And you know, one of the other things that this bill will prohibit is that what PBM sometimes will do is that suddenly if you have a medication that you're on and then it's costing too much, all of a sudden it'll fall off the formulary and then you'll have to pay either out of pocket or it's just not available. That also goes to affordability. This will prohibit that sort of activity.
So we've used the term formulary, and we kind of defined it, but can you explain what that is?
Sure. It's a list of all the acceptable drugs that you're able to purchase with your insurance plan. And sometimes you'll have to have pre-approvals, and that's another tool that PBMs tend to use to try to shuffle around either affordability or availability, which makes it very inconvenient for the consumer. So not only is it inconvenient, but it's also way more expensive. And again, it goes back to that price transparency issue.
And who controls the formularies, the list of the formularies?
It's the insurance companies.
Sure.
So, yeah. And it's typically driven by the rebates that they get, as well as the product effectiveness, you'd hope as well too. But that's what happens in that black box of the PBM side.
The black box, right?
So those are things that happen, and you could shift from one insurance plan to the next and have a totally different drug that then you may have to switch to if you've changed insurance companies as well. The other side to Representative Gatos's bill as well, which we are so appreciative of her sponsorship for this, is around enforcement and accountability, right? So not only is it the transparency, but it's also that side too. In the past, and some may say that we've attempted to have some changes in the past, but this bill, which she's co-authored as well, is just will go light years ahead of where we've been in the past.
Well, it'll give the department some authority to audit a lot of these transactions. And again, that just goes right to the transparency issue. And as I've repeatedly said, is that transparency really is the free market, and that is going to help people have a lower cost. It's affordable health care, and that's what we're fighting for.
Sure. And I think it's important to note this bill has been introduced in both the House and the Senate in a bipartisan manner. I think the governor has shown some interest in doing something on this issue as well. So it's one of those unique issues. Now, we know that I'm sure there's people that are against this bill out there, but we'll see what happens as we kind of move through the process. But Representative Gatos, where does this bill go from here? What's the next step?
Well, it's going to be in committee, but I wanted to touch on another issue too, that you know, not all PBMs are bad. There are some PBMs that have been fair, but unfortunately they get the bad rap because, the statistic that I stated is that 80% of the pharmaceutical are being controlled by the three biggest PBMs. So we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater,
sure,
so to speak, because there are some benefits to having a third party, except for when it does not provide quality health care.
That's fair. And, look, I think it's always good to review systems and processes all the time. I mean, that's not a bad thing to you don't have to get rid of everything. You can just reform things to make them better.
And the devil's going to be in the details here.
Sure.
So hopefully that we will hear a lot of input from a lot of the different parties and make it so that the bottom line is good patient care.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really, that's really what the pharmacy, community pharmacies, that's what we're about. And that's what we want to do. And we want to just be able to provide that care and have, frankly, a fair reimbursement for it to stay open and to service our customers and our patients.
And I always remind people that, or I ask them the question is, you know, during the pandemic, who took care of you the most? You were able to walk right into your pharmacy. You were able to ask them questions. Your doctors weren't as accessible as your pharmacist was. And they're typically right there on the front line. They can talk to you about interactions with other drugs. They are your best friend. And to see something like pharmacy benefit managers actually undermining that process of a patient care is very disturbing. So hopefully we're going to be able to address that. And I'm really delighted to have working with pharmacists. And I will tell you, I have a pharmacy in my district, which I go to. And what's really unique is that they are a compounding pharmacy. So that's actually a really interesting a way that they can specifically provide products that are catered to you, the patient,
right.
And I think that we can't be fortunate enough to have good pharmacists that are on our side.
Absolutely, and it's coincidental that today at the Capitol we have all these different days. Today happens to be Pharmacy Day at the Capitol, so that's always exciting. So it was great to have Rick here. Rick, can you tell us about your company? You're here. You took some time.
Thanks for asking. So I work for Value Drug Company, which is a pharmacy wholesaler, really servicing independent pharmacies. So the whole goal of Value Drug Company is to allow independent pharmacies to be able to purchase medications fairly and at an appropriate cost. And also one of our jobs is to help to make sure the independent pharmacies stay open. So that's that. And we're throughout the entire state and really service everyone throughout the state.
Well, Rick, thanks for being here, and thanks for taking some time on Pharmacy Day here. And Representative Gatos, thanks for your leadership on this issue. Stay tuned. I think this might be one of those you do see in the news. It does catch some headlines, but it's in its early stages. So I know at the end of the day, people want to go to the doctor. If they have and they get a prescription, they want to make sure they're paying the best price for it and are able to pay for it, too. So Representative Gatos, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been By the Way, Did You Know? Tune in for all of my podcasts at repecker.com/mypodcast.